For the last several weeks, we've been looking at living in the light of eternity. And tonight I want to talk about eavesdropping on eternity. And I want to invite you to turn to Revelation, the 19th chapter, and verses 6 through 8. Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 8. Do you remember that first week we talked from Matthew's gospel about two treasures? One treasure is earthly, and one treasure is heavenly. If you seek the earthly treasure, Jesus taught us, that treasure can be stolen, can rust, corrupt, decay, be taken from you. If you seek the heavenly treasure, we are told that that treasure is laid up for you in heaven and cannot be taken away from you. Remember the principle. Every act, every word, every attitude, everything that you and I do leads us to one of those two treasures. There is no neutrality in the life of a Christian. We are either pursuing the things of this world or we are pursuing the things of God. The great battle, the great conflict, is that while attempting to pursue the things of God, we can be led astray, deceived, discouraged, defeated, and ultimately destroyed, and therefore begin to do those things which are carnal and worldly and earthly. It is why Jesus taught us through Paul in the book of Ephesians to put on the whole armor of God so that we would not sin against the Lord and we would be able to overcome the wiles or the strategies of the devil. So we talked about that the first week. The second week we began to talk about personal influence. You are more influential in your life than anybody else. And it's a simple principle. You stay with you longer than anybody else does. You're around you more than anybody else is. You think thoughts and say words and make choices and have ideas that impact and influence the road you walk, whether it's faithfulness or disobedience, every day in every way. And we began to talk about understanding the past and being certain of the future, and therefore as a result of that, knowing why the present is like it is. We have been saved and given an incorruptible inheritance. Salvation in the past, glorification in the future, but now we've been told there is grief, testing, and trial. And if I have said anything in these 3 weeks prior and this week tonight that I hope really tugs at your heart, it is this. When something happens in the life of a true born-again believer that's hard to swallow, it's hard to take, feels like the rug's been yanked out from under you, you've been stabbed in the back, when it appears that you have negative issues while those who are worldly have positive things, never believe that God has become inactive or indifferent or moved away from you, because it takes grief, trial, and trouble to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. We don't learn on the mountaintop. We learn in the valley. We don't get to be like Jesus through celebration. We get to be like Jesus through suffering. And the sympathizing Savior sees in us an opportunity to be conformed to the image of Jesus as the potter sees in the clay the opportunity to be fashioned and molded and made after his own image. So, with that, I just thought tonight we'd take a few moments to leave here, at least in our minds, and go there and just examine just one incident, one event that takes place in the heavenlies. And maybe after all I have said these three previous weeks, tonight, if we can begin to grasp what's going on in heaven, what heaven is like, what eternity promises, maybe we'll get so excited that when things are not as they're supposed to be down here, we can develop a little spiritual patience and say, not now, not here, but someday, because the King is coming. So let's look at this for a moment. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give Him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. Now, anytime you turn to the book of Revelation, I think that people want to know, well, Pastor, who's the Antichrist? Pastor, when's the tribulation going to start? Pastor, can you name a date? Can you tell us a time? Can you put a timeline together? None of that tonight. None of that tonight. All I really want you to see tonight, what I want you to hold in your heart tonight, is this outburst of exuberant, vibrant worship that is recorded in this one chapter. I want you to see tonight the difference between how we go about worship and how they worship, and we shall one day worship when we get to heaven. So the points, the thoughts tonight are so simple. They're down on your sheet of paper. Didn't try to make them rhyme. They're not homiletically and hermeneutically correct. I just said what I wanted to say to you, and here we go. Number one, when you read this passage, you suddenly discover that God is important to these people in heaven. I know what you're... Well, Brother Don, God's important to me. Really? I think we think that. And I think we want that. But when you get off work in the afternoon, had a bad day, you're tired, the one thing that's on your mind is to get into that car, get home, fall down in your recliner, and have somebody bring supper to you. I'm not sure that God is the top of the list at that point. When you've been cooped up in the house with the kids for 2 or 3 days and one or two of them have been sick, and all of a sudden cabin fever has just squeezed you until you just feel like you're going to burst if you don't get out and get about, sometimes God's not at the top of the list. When you go to the mailbox, you pull out that quarterly insurance or that yearly tax assessment and you'd forgotten about it and it's going to cost you more than you thought and you look at that and think, oh my goodness, now what? I'm not sure God's at the top of the list. When your spouse says, or when you say to her, or you say to him, and there's stress and strife, I'm not sure God's always at the top of the list. I think we're living in a fallen world. And I think we're impacted and influenced by a fallen world. And I think though we know we are sinners saved by grace, we're still sinners in the midst of a sinful world, and sin still has its impact upon us. Our average day does not necessarily lift up and exalt Jesus 24/7. Work and weariness and meals and television and bed and cars and bills and finances and decisions and jobs and titles and circumstances, they all get in the way of us simply being able to relax and say, Hallelujah, the Lord God Almighty reigneth. I say that from time to time. I shout that from time to time. I read my Bible or I hear a sermon or I hear a song and sometimes I'm overwhelmed but they were constantly consumed and possessed and obsessed. This breakout, this outburst of vibrant, exuberant worship was continual. We have days and nights. There is no night there. Forever and forever and forever and forever. All anyone has to say is holy, and recorded in Scripture is that the answer is going to be holy and someone else holy. And then someone says, so is the Lord God Almighty. I hope I've made my case. I wish we could say God's always on my mind. I will tell you this, you're always on His. I wish I could say God is always on my mind. But one of these days, when trouble and trial and grief is over, one of these days when we have ascended on high, one of these days when it's different and sin does not compress us and influence us and impact us, one of these days when temptation is over and trial is past and grief is no more, one of these days we are going to be fully and thoroughly and eternally aware of the fact that God is the most important person who we have ever known or will ever meet. So simple. Number two, not only is God important to them, the fact that God is reigning is important to them. Now, let me explain what I did 2 weeks ago again very quickly. The future promise that God will reign forever and ever cannot be true unless God is already reigning in the here and now. Let me say that again. We look forward to a day when His enemies will be His footstool, when He'll rule and reign with a rod of iron, when we'll be together with Him in heaven. But that future reign can in no way reflect truth unless He's already reigning in our hearts. Now, you know why I want to say that to you tonight? Because when Jesus came forth from the grave, Peter says God highly exalted Him, not in a time to come. When Peter says God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. It is not that Jesus is going to reign. It is that Jesus does reign now in the here and in the hereafter. So what's going to be so important is that we see God reigning, and then we look back upon what happened to us and we say, you know, God made no mistake. Some through the fire, some through the flood, but all through the blood, God made no mistake. So what we understand about this is that the importance of God reigning is that now when there's a crisis, now when there's chaos, now when there's trouble, God is still reigning as He will reign one of these days when it's peaceful ever after. Don't want to offend you, but here's something that's very true. If God's reign is important, then yours isn't. Amen. Mine isn't. It's not so much about whether I'm in control as it is He fully and completely is in control. And there is a third principle. God's glory, not just God important, God's reign is important. Look at this. God's glory is important to them. We will never understand the purpose of our existence apart from recognizing that we were created for the glory of Almighty God. We will never understand why we are here until we realize we were created to bring glory to God. You are hardwired. I am hardwired. And as a believer, we are in tune with the glory of God. We're not here to magnify self, and we're not here to magnify the creation. We are here to magnify the Creator. And until we understand the urgency of glorifying God in all things, to God be the glory. Great things He has done. And anything you do, and anything that I do that does not glorify God is earthly. It is temporal. It'll fade away. Anything that you do and anything that I do that does not pursue the holiness of God, the purity of God, and the glory of God won't last, and we'll let the judgment burn like wood, hay, and stubble. A good sermon will burn if it was not anointed of the Spirit. A great song will be nothing but 3 or 4 minutes of talent exposed if it was not anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. A service such as this will have absolutely no meaning if God is not present and adored and worshiped. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the rehearsal. This is the practice for the end result. Our journey is preparing us for a destiny in the presence of the glory of Almighty God. Now, I understand, said it last week, we'll say it again. I understand that I am not yet conformed enough to the image of Jesus for God to want to spend eternity with me. Did you hear what I said? I don't think God wants to hang out with Don. I'm too worldly, I'm too fleshly, I'm too carnal. But He's working on me. He's conforming me. He's making me into the image of Jesus. You say, well, you think you're pretty special. You bet I do. I think you're pretty special too. Because He chose you in Christ. He saved you by grace. You are redeemed. You are covered in the blood. You are kept by the Holy Spirit. Your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You were hardwired to glorify God. That's your whole purpose in life. And all of this other things and stuff that we do, all of these other decisions and things that get in our way, all of the struggle and clutter in life, it's doing nothing but tearing us down from that which we were created to do. So rise to your potential. Be who you are in Christ Jesus. Don't be distracted by things that weigh you down here. For this robe of flesh will drop and rise, and we'll seize the everlasting prize. You may not be able to pay your bill every month down here, but I'll tell you, you'll walk on gold one of these days. And you may not be able to decide everything to come out just like you want it to, but when you get there, He who reigns will reign forever, and all will be well in the kingdom of God. If you and I could get a glimpse of eternity, we'd be like the hungry man who knows if he can just make another block, there's food to eat. The cold man who knows if he can just make another block, there's a fire to warm by. The starving, thirsty man who knows if he can just take a couple of more steps, there's a cold fountain of water. If you can just make it another day or two, you can just be patient a little while longer. If you can just get by. If you can just keep looking up. If you can press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If you can run the race with patience. The marathon's about over. The finish line's in sight. We'll soon be going home. And the glory of God is the most important factor in all of that, in His presence. Number four, they rejoiced because they were included. Now, this is good because this lets you and me just have a good time down here. Here's what I like about it. Let us rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and we, His bride, have made ourselves ready. Best thing about heaven is Jesus Christ. Next best thing about heaven is I'm going to be there. See that? You say, what about the mansions, the streets of gold? Down the list. Best thing about heaven is Jesus. The next best thing about heaven is that I am going to spend eternity there. I'm rejoicing tonight that I'm in on it. I got invited. I'm included in the feast. I'm like the Old Testament Jew who's jumping up and down with joy. My feet are inside the gates of the city. We don't know anything about that. But if you could just envision a little boy who's been told that his wish has been granted and he's going to get to go to Disneyland. Can't wait, can't wait. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You just multiply that by 100, maybe 1,000, maybe tens of thousands of thousands. The old farmer turns to his family and says, this year, we're going up to Jerusalem for the Passover. Daddy, I've never been there. What's it like? Oh, son, it'll be beyond anything I could describe to you. Son, you won't believe it. The city gates, the walls, and oh, when the sun strikes the temple on the mount, son, you will not believe what it's like. I went there one time when I was a child. I can't wait to go back. And you see these start marching out toward that ancient city. And the closer they come, they start to sing one of the psalms and they ascend up to the city singing, "Praise be to the Lord, glory and honor be to the Lord." And then they get there and that old farmer with rough hands and a rough exterior, whom the kids have never really seen too excited about anything, he can't contain himself. "My feet are standing inside the gates of glory." And that's going to be you. And that's going to be me. And God help us to never take that for granted. That is not commonplace. It is not old or worn out. I am a child of the King, and His royal blood flows in my veins. And one final thing. They rejoiced as they celebrated grace. The marriage of the Lamb has come. The bride's made herself ready. It's been granted her to clothe herself with the fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteousness. It's the righteous deeds of the saints. There is no hope for humanity apart from grace. Understanding this gives wings to your daily life. It might be entitled delayed gratification. Not now, not here, but someday soon. The old missionary came home from the foreign field on the same ship with the President of the United States in the 20s. The President had a red carpet reception with bands and crowds and great cheering. The old missionary, who had been gone from his homeland for years, wept on the side of the ship and said, "Oh Lord, I've spent all this time in lonely desperation on the other side of the earth, now to come home without one person to receive me." And the Lord spoke to his heart and said, "But my child, you're not home yet. Fight your battle. Go about your business. Try your best to pursue holiness. Recognize that your treasure must be heavenly if it's eternal and lasting. Make good decisions. When grief and testing and trial comes, instead of running from it, do your best to embrace it. Because it's the master carving out His image in your life. And know this, hold in your heart that one day soon, the most exuberant outburst of vibrant worship ever recorded will include you. You will be crying, holy, holy, holy. You will be saying, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. You will rejoice and give Him glory. You will be part of the marriage supper of the Lamb. You will walk in white, clothed in the righteousness of the saints. You will celebrate grace for all eternity. Let's stand. Mike and I'll be in the altar and just a couple of verses played on the piano. Anything we can help you with or pray for you, tell you about Jesus or how to join our church, these are the moments when that can take place.